Welcome to round two of the 2021 season of the Westlife Podcast. I'm your host, Josh Barnett. Follow us at Westlife Pod on Twitter and Instagram. And also check out westlife.com. As I mentioned last week, we now have a website as well. So, thank you to everyone who's read the few stories that we've put up there recently. The website's going gangbusters. So, thanks to all the visitors there. This week, I've got his back, Rob Bashara's, on the show to breathe a little bit of fire after a, not too much fire. He's not quite as fired up as he was late last year, but he's here to talk about the game on the weekend, and then of course everything West Tigers, how he feels about the roster and the construction and that sort of thing. So we're not getting ahead of ourselves. Don't worry, we're not talking disasters. We're both staying fairly positive after round one, or fairly humble. As Bon Jovi said, guys, you just got to keep the faith. So, before our chat with Rob is the news and the game preview. So, first up, here's the news. So, just before we get to the news, just our Patreon comments of the week. So, if you want to be part of the show, check out patreon.com/Westlife. So, first up, Fred's thoughts on the game last week. So he said, quite simply, there's no change from last year. We cannot put out an 80-minute performance. We were in the game the first half and crumbled in the second half. People suggest a Maguire coach team is fit, but I'm yet to see this at all. The Raiders got better as the game went on, and those silly errors are most likely due to a lack of fitness. The positives, new recruits, Joe, Tarmow, and Laurie looked good. Jimmy the Jet showed some spark and will be better for it. Brooks is the same. Brooks and Little was highly disappointing. For our next game, I'm happy to see Adam Dewey back in the halves. I think we will put out a better performance, but not enough to come away with the 2 points. This is going to sound a little left field, but I think about it for a moment. I think we can benefit from Luciano moving to lock. He can break a tackle and has an offload, whereas 12 can't. Move 12 into the forward rotation and put Mbai in the centres. Not bad, Fred. Alex 12 at lock is something that has baffled me for the last couple of years. I think he's a front rower as well. I don't want to tell Madge how to do his job, but yeah, I don't get 12 playing at lock. I think we need someone a bit more attacking. Yeah, as you kind of said, Fred. So. No lies told there. And then Aaron, he said, first half last weekend was great, although a bit rusty, and showed us glimpses of a gritty defence that we'll need to see all season to be a threat. Falling off in the second half was disappointing, but there are reasons to be hopeful. I hope we will see a better game from Brooks in his milestone game this week. He's playing his 150th, for those that don't know. I'm looking forward to seeing Dwayne back too. The two of them combine well with Laurie in the trial, and we'll need more of that and a vocal home crowd to challenge the Roosters. Go Tigers. So plenty of good points and plenty of positivity in there, Aaron. Thanks for that. On to the news. So a friend of mine, Kelly Hollis, who longtime listeners might remember, she was on the show, one of her very first episodes. She did an off-season review for us a couple of seasons ago. So she's part of a new group called The Ambush. So basically it's a group of fans, long-time members, who approach the club to help with improving game day experience. And Justin Pascoe, who I think is doing a good job, others think he's not, but I think in terms of off-the-field stuff, he's very good. So he's invited the group to meet in the past and see what could be organized. And so the group was officially born. The Ambush. So they meet regularly to discuss ways they can support the club, improving the game day experience. So they've got a number of events in the works for the first 12 rounds of the year incoming. So they're trying to gauge interest and see where to go from there. So the first event is round 3, when we play up in Newcastle, and that'll be held at West Ashfield. that's yours truly's birthday. For anyone looking to get me a gift next week, hint, hint, if the wife is listening. Yeah, so the club's going to be supporting those events and going to have special guests and merchandise giveaways. West Ashfield's coming to the party with some drinks and food and deals on the day. The membership team from the club's going to be there for people to become members on the day. So, yeah, so for more information, check out Kelly's been posting all over the socials in that. So, yeah, check out the Ambush to get better game day experiences, especially for away games, like when we play Newcastle next week. Other news, so not sure if anyone saw BJ Leilua's blow up on Twitter, so he's had a crack at Michael Ennis. Ennis called on BJ to get his emotions in check during big games, and Joey's come out and had a bit of a crack at him on Twitter, and then he didn't like, there was a part of the game where his brother got a bit of a cheap shot from Hudson Young, and his tweet said, so that's play on, bruh, wonder what would happen if that was me that ran in for close fits, forearm and a clip someone in the head, hashtag Ennis stop talking shit, and Baldy stop holding his pocket. On Instagram, Leilua was tagged in the NRL and said, let us know that's okay. So, I mean, we want players to have characters. I mean, I love this from BJ, being a bit vocal. Hopefully, he comes out firing next week, that means. But, good on BJ. And, it was a bit of a cheap shot. If you check it out on Twitter, on BJ Leilua's Twitter, how we didn't get a penalty for that, who knows, but the refereeing by old mate on Sunday was had a lot to be desired. Apologies to anyone following our Twitter account. The emotions got the better of me, but that is probably the worst referee in the comp, in my opinion, how he keeps getting the big games. Sutton, I have no idea. So anyway, Hertz, the rental car company, this became a little bit of a running joke today. So they've become a sponsor of the Tigers, and you get 20% off. West Tigers members get 20% off rentals with Hertz in Australia, 10% off in New Zealand. So they're becoming a sponsor, and a lot of, apparently, with West Tigers community and digital program, so you see their logo a lot there. But I thought I was being quick with a punchline, saying Hertz is exactly what West Tigers make us feel today. But I saw it 100 times. Other people making the same joke. So say what we like about West Tigers fans. We're comedians. We're very funny. We have a great sense of humor. Even when our team doesn't do many things to make us happy. But anyway, results from the other grades across the weekend. So the Knock-On Effect Cup, that's the New South Wales Cup. For those who don't know, that's what it's called this year. So the Magpies, they lost 32-18 to the Raiders. Apparently, Jock Madden played very well in that game, as did Tuki Simpkins. But the Jersey Flegg team, they had a bye, so they're undefeated. The Harvey Norman Women's Premiership Girls, they beat Cabramatta 54-4. The Tasha Gale Girls, they beat the Dragons 2012. They're 4-0, those girls now, which is, so they're getting along very nicely. SG Ball, Balmain Tigers lost 26-22 to the Panthers. West Magpies had the bye. Harem Mats, Balmain lost 26-18 to the Panthers, and Magpies had the bye there too. Last bit of news getting around, not really West Tigers related, but I thought it was a little bit funny. Ryan Madison is looking elsewhere for a new contract. His manager's playing hardball with the Parramatta Eels, so I thought that was a bit funny. But have fun with that one, Parramatta Eels. Game previews next. Before we get into the game preview, just want to remind everyone that Westlife Podcast is sponsored each and every week by MG Pump Solutions. So you'll probably heard Shane from MG Pump Solutions on the first show of the year. Massive West Tigers fan. They'll be getting their debut up on the big screen, sponsoring James Tarmel. So keep an eye out for their logo when the team list is read out on Sunday if you're going to the game. So for those that don't know, MG Pumps, they're one of the leading service-based pump businesses in New South Wales. So check out their website, mgpumps.com.au, or just follow the link in the top right-hand corner on westlife.com. And speak to Shane and his team. If you have any pumping needs, shouts to you, Shane, who's not feeling flash this week. He's a bit crook. So, mate, I hope you get well in time for the game on Sunday, and I'll see you out there, hopefully. So, game preview, speaking of which, so 4 p.m. Sunday at Campbelltown Sports Stadium. We're playing against the Sydney Roosters, the team list. So, same as last week, but what's been shuffled around is Adam Dwaihi is back. Thank God he's in the number six. Moses Mbai is named on the bench. Russell Packer has dropped out. But, only two forwards on the bench is a bit odd because obviously Tommy Talau is still on the bench there. So who knows what Madge might do there. There's talk that James Roberts might not be fit to play. So one would think that Tommy Talau will move into the centre. So first home game of the year, guys. So if you haven't got your membership sorted yet and you're looking to get a ticketed membership, get on to West Tigers and see if you can get that. That way if you get a full season ticket, you can use it for every game. If not, if you just go into this weekend, tickettech.com, let's get a big crowd out there to try and beat these bloody Chooks. But our record against them, it sucks to say the least. So I talk about this with my chat with Rob coming up next. But my 21st birthday, the night before, we beat the Roosters. We beat them again that year. And then since then, we've beaten them twice. And I turn 33 years old next week. So 16 losses in the last 18 games against them. And they've scored at least six tries in half of those. So not good at all. We're $4 outsiders. I saw on Sportsbet they have the longest odds. If you want to take a risk and throw some money on them, gamble responsibly. Lines at around 10.5 and 11.5. It's a wet game. If the lines might have changed, the weather's pretty bad in Sydney. So my bet of the week is to take the line for the first half. I feel like they'll come out firing and at halftime, possibly even go for the win. You might get about 3.30 for the West Tigers. Put money on us to win the first half. And you know what? I'm going to double down on Luciano Leilua. A try to him's coming. I can see Luch in a wet game busting through a hole and scoring a try. So Luciano Leilua into West Tigers to win the first half. So maybe not good enough to go the full 80 with the Chooks. But the weather's not looking crash hot for the weekend. Campbelltown is looking at about 22 degrees at kickoff, so not too cold, but 70% chance of precipitation. So pack the umbrella if you're going to the game, pack the ponchos because it's going to be a wet one, so probably going to be a low scoring game at that. So to finish the show is, if you're a long listener of the show or even a recent listener, Rob was on late last year and his episodes went absolutely viral. He breathes fire every time he's on the show. He's a little composed now. It's only round one. He's staying a little bit positive. He's got plenty to say, as he always does. But we talked about last week's game and this week's game and a little bit of the future of the club. But yeah, I don't need to explain to my listeners what to expect from Rob. So just, yeah, sit back and enjoy my chat with Rob. Look, I tipped the Raiders. It was expected but also surprising at the same time, because what I mean by that, it's a bit of an oxymoron statement, but I expected us to put up a good fight, and then they did for the first half, and just typical Tigers fashion, it was just a couple of just, it swung the other way and it just seemed to fall out of our grasp. And I don't think the scoreboard kind of shows that we're in it. And Canberra are a very good side, but yeah, it's just...
Yeah, they normally take a while to get warmed up.
Yeah, that's so true.
I didn't think we'd win either, to be honest. I thought it was a big ask, you know, travelling to Canberra and picking up the win. But, you know, the scoreboard says we lost it in the second half, but to me, we lost it in the first half. Like, we had some really good patches where we defended our mistakes, but we should have, you know, we got to 6-0 after a lot of mistakes, after some bad kicks. We got to 6-0, and then the bad kicking just kept continuing.
Yeah.
And we should have had a lot more pressure. We should have used up a lot more of their juice. You know, a little bit like, I don't know if you got to see the Penrith North Queensland game. Penrith were really good in attack, but they only had 8-0 to show on the scoreboard, but they just had so many repeat sets, so many
goal line
dropouts. And then, you know, the Cowboys ran out of gas in the second half, and we should have been able to do the same thing, because we really did compete well. We were pretty resilient, but we had nothing in attack. We had absolutely nothing in attack, but the kicking game really hurt. And then they scored off a fluky kick, really.
They always do. I tweeted that. They always score. It's always a ricochet or just a really, really arsey try when the Raiders play us, and it always seems to change the momentum of the game. Like, we'd play, like, it was so frustrating. We're up 6-0 and looking all but, well, we're pretty scrappy, but the defense was holding well, and it literally just took a lucky bounce for us to crack, and it just always seems to happen against the Raiders. So.
Yeah, and that was off a crappy penalty too. Well, not a penalty, sorry, but like, there was a forward pass before they received a penalty. It was blatant as, no one in front of the touch judge, never got called. They kick it downfield, and then, you know, Luke Garner sticks his foot out. It's a little bit unlucky.
Absolute sliding door moment.
But that's the thing. If you put a kick that puts the defense in two minds, you know, you can get a result out of it, and that's what we'd like, you know. You've seen me on Twitter. I was just so pissed off with Luke's kicking. It was just, you know, he's been around for too long to do that.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's always been excuses for him. But, you know, one bad kick every now and then, fair enough. But to have, like, four or five bad kicks, it was just, you know, unacceptable. And I just thought we could have been even further ahead, because we didn't play that great and we got to 6-0. So it's kind of like, okay, we got our bad crap out of the way. Let's finish the half off. And we just kept doing stupid things. Like, it was just, you know, stupid drop balls and bad kicks. And we just beat ourselves, because if you look at the stats, you know, we completed as many sets as them. We didn't have as many errors as them. We had more offloads than them. They really didn't do anything special. It's just, you know, we shot ourselves in the foot. And it comes back to your halves. If your halves aren't doing things, then, you know, you're screwed. But, like, not just the halves, so even just some other guys, like, little things. I don't know what you thought of it, but, you know, like the M bypass that went into touch. Like, Noffa has to be there. That pass was perfect. Noffa has to be there. It's obvious he's going to throw that cutout ball, and he was like 3 or 4 metres back.
So you put that on the winger, not on Moses.
Bloody oath. Mm. Bloody oath. I thought it was a great pass, and I'm not an M by fan. I can't, you know. You know what I'm
doing. Yeah. I thought he was okay.
He was okay. Like, but, I mean, look, there was no other choice for 5-8. Like, I mean, you were at the trial game for the Manly game, and...
Mm.
Jock Madden really didn't do anything. Like, he didn't do anything bad, and I don't want to judge him on one game, but I just thought, you know what, I'd rather have someone experienced there that can tackle a little bit, because M-Bai's shown that, you know, in the centres, he can tackle.
Yeah.
So I just thought, you know, plug the gap for a week. Dwayne, he'll be there next week. But, you know, at halftime, it was weird, because kind of like, okay, you know what, well, I'm happy to be 6-all because we did defend a fair bit. But then you also think, well, hang on, if we kick properly and kept, you know, a bit of pressure on them, maybe we would have been up a bit more or had a lead. So it was just really disappointing, mate. Really disappointing.
I guess the flip side, it's a lot of new players in, and I guess the attack not coming together should really be expected, and you should expect it to get better as the players get used to playing with each other.
Correct, but
if that makes
how have they
sense.
trained? How have they trained in the off season? Like, have we just put all our eggs in the Dwayne basket? Like, has Mbeye not had a run at 5'8", or
Yeah,
you know,
perhaps.
Brooksy's run the show? I think the disappointing thing for me, you're right. Like, it is a new squad, and you know they've got to have time to gel, et cetera. But our red zone attack, we just look like a bunch of strangers. We just never looked like we were going to do anything. And the one time we did was when Brooksy did step someone and gave the offload inside to Liddell and he scored.
Yeah.
Other than that, it was just like ad lib. Like even like Robert's unbelievable pass to Nofa, like that was just off the cuff. Like that
Yeah.
wasn't anything planned.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think any of us expected it. So
The Canberra
just
defense,
disappointed. Just really disappointing.
the Canberra defense was up very, very quick. I don't know if you saw my
Oh,
screenshots that I
100%.
tweeted. They were like up on us. People were bagging out, let's say Liddell's passing perhaps was a little bit slow, but
It
and
was. It
when
was.
Canberra's getting a meter or two advantage and just rushing the receiver, it just but hopefully like Dane Laurie was
Dane Laurie
new,
was
like new,
great.
yeah,
Dane Laurie was great. He had 120 meters or
yeah.
thereabouts, and you know he did really well. And you know he looks like he's been there for a while. So Dane Laurie is like one really good shining light out of the team. But you know their fullback ran like 100 meters more. You know I think he
Yeah.
had over 200 meters. So he had a great game, but it was just disappointing because we were, you know, at times we were resilient, but then I don't know if you noticed it, just the last 10 minutes, like the game was over, but you could see the boys dropped their head a little bit.
Yeah, that's why I
Yeah.
think the scoreboard doesn't kind of tell because they were gassed as well. They drop so much ball
Yeah.
that it just it, they ran out of gas. And the Luke the thing that changed the momentum was that Luke Garner penalty, albeit was it soft, but it was dumb and soft. Like I don't
Agreed.
know what went through his head to think like, and he like laughed after it and like just.
I think
Oh,
that was
it.
a sarcastic laugh of the ref, like you're
Yeah.
kidding.
I know,
You
but
know, like
like,
we all thought that, but that, you know, that's us, mate. Like we just get these bullshit penalties. Like, you know, if anything can go wrong against us, sometimes it does. But you know, I think we've got to take a little bit of blame ourselves. But you're right about the offside. The offside is a joke. Like, what do you do? You know, it's just, I don't know if it's just a home ground thing or whatever. But like you said, they can't come off the line that quick. Like, no one is that fast to just be in your face from a, you know, from a one pass. Like they weren't like Super Harbour Ridge passes. Like the passes weren't great, but they weren't, you know, super loopy. So it's just, I don't know, mate. It was just disappointing. Disappointing in the end. But like I said, I've got no expectations this year, and I just thought, you know what, this is good. Like we've got a bunch of kids that can either make a name for themselves, and if they don't make a name for themselves, you know, we'll just try other blokes down the track. But you know, Madge hasn't really changed the team too much, although the bench looks a bit sus this week. I don't think that's how the bench is going to line up.
Yeah, I think there's more. He's going to work around with that possibly,
He
but
has to, mate. You can't go in with just two forwards.
yeah,
Yeah.
the defense is a good sign. If there's any positive taken out of that game, I know
Yeah.
30 points, it doesn't look good, but as you said, I mean the reason the points came from our errors. The
100%.
more you so completion rate was 33 out of 44.
Yeah.
That's 11 sets we didn't complete, and you're just giving the Raiders attack like extra ball.
Yeah.
You're going to be gassed, and the tries all came. Just looking at the log now, so tries came 42, 56, 75th minute. So that was,
Yeah, so
yeah, that
if
just
you've got the stats there, though, Luke, Josh, if you've got the
yeah.
stats there, like have a look at, like you said, the completed sets we did better in. You know, the drop ball we did better in. The, you know, meters gained, there wouldn't be much in it. It'd be less than 100 meters. We had at least a dozen offloads. They probably had five or six.
The offloads, yeah, that's very because Canberra are usually very good offloading.
That's what I mean.
It was
They
13 to 6.
didn't do anything. They really didn't do anything. So it's like you're thinking, where did we lose the game? And to me, it's just easy kicking. Our kicking game sucked. It comes back to that. And you know, in our history, even in the good times, we've never been a team that has been really good at getting the repeat sets and you know, building pressure. We've always been like, you know, in our heyday, we're the fancy team, we're looking to score on the last tackle. We're not, you know, looking to build pressure and all that sort of thing. So
Four
we
forced dropouts though. Kicking meters, they had an extra 70 odd meters, but forced
Yeah.
dropouts 4-1.
Yeah.
So,
So we did. We were ahead in that stat. Okay.
four
Well,
to, 4-1.
yeah. But I just maybe I think looking at the whole game, it just didn't look like they really kicked that badly because you just notice our kicks like out on the full, grubber kick straight into someone's chest. Bomber's meant to go in the in goal landing 15 meters out. I don't know, maybe I'm a bit harsh. I just expect more of Brooks.
Yeah. He was his kicking game. I'm a Brooks defender, as you know, but his kicking 100%. Game is something that's very, very rarely on. So his attacking game, his defense is usually good.
Yeah.
His running game is usually very good. It's the kicking. So how much of that duty Adam AD will take this week? Who knows?
I think he'll take a fair bit of it. But
yeah,
this week even, like, we won't be able to judge things on this week anyway because it's going to be a wet track. The good thing about a wet track is it's a leveler generally. The Roosters do all those things you need to do in the wet, like chase hard, you know, play straight, good kicking game.
Yeah.
So I'm just hoping the fact they've got a new hooker, you know, and Verrills isn't back yet, that should help us a little bit. But, you know, I don't think the hooker's going to do too much. So I don't know, it'll just be a pretty tough sort of good game. But we need to get our kicking right. If we kick like we did last week, we're finished.
Yeah. Yeah, the grinding game, can we? Because the defense, like I said, if we can make less errors in the wet's harder, but I can't see us, mate. Like, it was a dry track, and we still made a lot of errors. So hopefully, if they tidy that up and just possession is closer to 50-50, then who knows? But the Roosters, like you said, I'm not going to tip us again this week, but
I'm not going to tip us. Yeah. But you know what? We're going to come out breathing fire.
Like, I hope
he's
so.
He's just going to rip into them, and first home game, and just everyone will be behind us at Campbelltown, and I'm going out there. I don't know if you're going out or not.
Yeah, I'll be there.
But like I say, it's going to be one of those games where it's not going to be pretty. You know, you're not going to expect much. You know, ball movement from us anyway. And hopefully that weather will sort of nullify them. And I just hope it's a grind in the forwards. But if we're going to have a grind in the forwards, you know, we can't go with two forwards on the bench. I'm pretty sure Stefano will come onto the bench for sure. We just can't go with, what's his name, with Madden and Mbai on the bench. It just can't be done.
Yeah, no, it's a very, very...
Talao. So Roberts is carrying some sort of niggling injury, so... I guess we'll find out if he's going to play or not. But
so you would think Talao will slot in into the centres. So
for Roberts, if Roberts is injured.
Yeah.
What do you think of Roberts? I thought he made a couple of errors, but I thought overall he was okay.
Yeah, it's exciting every time he gets the ball.
Yeah.
Like, you think something's going to happen. He did look a little bit rusty, but
yeah,
it's okay. I don't know. The attack, you can't take too much from round one in terms of attack, and especially when they were playing, they're just fatiguing themselves, giving away errors.
Correct.
It can only get better. I'm living in hope, but you would think your attack is better in round 24 than it is in round one. So the fact that the defense looked really strong. What about Jimmy Tarmel? Bloody
49 tackles.
49 tackles in 49 minutes.
And that was
after
that concussion too, as well, wasn't it? Like, so he probably would have topped the tackle count. No, he had a great game. He did really, really well.
I think Lids had 51, but he missed 9. Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean that's always going to happen if they're coming up. Like I said, they didn't make really many breaks and or offloads, I should say. So they were just coming at us in the middle. But even Ofengawi, I thought, played really well. He had a couple of offloads and he ran 120 odd meters or something like that. So that was a good debut for us. So, look, it's, to me, this year is just about rebuilding. Obviously last year we had a few chats and I was venting about, you know, what we've done in the past with our purchasing and recruiting and all that sort of stuff. I don't think, like, considering where we were last year and who we bought this year, I think we've done really well. Like, even if we run dead last, I actually think we haven't made any blunders in terms of stupid prices. And just getting guys we're going to be lumped with for 3 or 4 years that we don't want, like we have had previously with Reynolds and Packer, and, well, we've got Packer still one more year, but Chris McQueen, this is Mbai's last year. So I think the guys in, management have realised, be like every other decent club, you've got to put a value on each position so that you can get the right players in those positions. But, and they've all got a chance to prove themselves. And if we come nowhere, well, they know they're not going to have a job next year. Or, we know we're going to be looking for someone else.
Yep. So, plenty of cash to spend. Yeah.
Yeah. And like I said, I think we're free rolling. We've just got to just play our game and, Madge will get what he wants and he'll weed out who he doesn't want. And But overall, I think we did really well in the off season. But like I said before, it doesn't mean we're going to have a good year. And we said last year that, you know, we're looking at 22, 23 before we see some real success. So
I don't think we come last though. I know you said like,
oh, it's a possibility, but I hope.
I think it's very low. I think there's five teams in the comp that have got our number: the Storm, the Roosters, the Raiders, Panthers, and Parramatta, or probably another one. Who?
So you're looking up the top end. I look down the bottom end. I'm looking like, who can we beat? Who would we beat if
call me one-eyed. I'll go into the game. If we're not playing any of those five teams, I'll go into the games thinking we've got a real chance here. And I think it might be one of those years.
Yeah.
We've had a couple of them in recent years where a result, say, missing a goal against the Bulldogs is going to cost, like, it's going to come down to the flip of the coin, end of the game. Can we get it over the line rather than just, like, I can't see us getting towed up very often. I can see it's going to be a lot of games. They're going to be close. And can they just, the bounce of the ball, for example, against the Titans last year, it's going to come down to a lot of that. So I think, yeah, when we don't play those five teams, so we play the other 10,
yeah,
I'll go into that game thinking, you know what, if the bounce of the ball, the referee's whistle is kind to us, we're a chance here. So obviously, maybe not favourites.
Yeah,
but I think we're better than 16th. I think we're better than the Dragons. I think we're better than the Cowboys.
I'm not saying we're better than the 16th, but like, okay, you're referring to the Dragons. Like, they've got, you know, okay, Ben Hunt is you know, a pretty highly priced player. I think he's on 1.2 or thereabouts. Mm. But they've got a lot of potency in their back line. Like, even when they lose, like, Dufty can do things, Lomax can do things. You know, they got quite a bit of strike there, but their forwards are a bit weak. See, that's one thing I actually do like. The forward pack we've got, when you consider that Musgrove's not there, Blore's not there. See, I'm a big Garner fan, and that, like, last Sunday just really gave me the shits, because how can you defend that? You know what I mean? Because he's a really good hole runner, and I'm thinking, okay, all he has to do in the offseason is just get his defense right. And he missed some tackles on the weekend, and I'm just thinking, no, don't do that. He's such a good strike player in attack.
Yeah.
You need to defend, because he's just not going to, you know, that was really woeful the other day. I'm just hoping it's a one off, but he won't get many chances if he does that again.
Mm.
But, our pack's looking good. We're not going to get fouled up in the pack. It's just, like, can we score points? And, you know, a lot of our fans, you know, kind of fell for the trial form thing, which you just don't do. But at the same time, it was only one game. Like, it was only round one.
Mm. You know, and it was a very good team. Change. It was a very good team we're playing against at home in Canberra.
100%,
so.
100%. Mm. But, very, you know, there are a lot of good things. Like, you know, they got a star player in White, and we shut him up most of the game. He did nothing. He did absolutely nothing. So there's a lot of positives there. We defended some sets, defended a lot of errors, but we made too many errors. And we're a team that we've got to build pressure on the other team. And, like, they all know that. Madge will be telling them that. But, I'm a bit worried that our wins are going to be sort of 12-10 wins, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
It's always going to be tough for us. You know, we need to kick our goals when we do score tries and tackle teams to death and all that sort of stuff. So,
yeah.
But, you know, like I say, it's only round one, but we have got a crappy draw. Like, we've got a really tough draw to start with.
Yeah.
So we've just got to get through those first few weeks, because if we end up sort of coming 0-4, then maybe some of the confidence goes, and then everyone's looking at the person next to them, and, you know, then everyone starts talking about, you know, will Madge be there in a year or two? So it just all the negative talk comes in, snowball. It all snowballs. But like I say, I think we did well in the off season. We just got to give the kids a go, and whoever fails, and they can sort out who they want to get next, and prioritize whether we need, you know, halfback, 5'8", whoever. Because Dewey's still, you know, we haven't even seen what he's going to do. We saw in the trial what he can do, and it looked great.
Yeah.
But we just need to see how our halves go, how our centres go. You know, Joey and Roberts aren't the greatest tacklers in the world.
Mm.
So there's plenty to look at. But Dane Laurie was exciting. I thought even McKaylee played well off the bench. You know, his numbers were pretty good too, considering he had a couple of offloads and a few tackles. But Tamo was impressive. Tamo was probably the pick of our pack.
Yeah, he's a machine. He's been such a good buy. I still can't believe people bagging out that purchase, but
Yeah, I don't think. Oh, well, if you're
He's a
banging out
great
that
leader on the
purchase,
field too.
we needed it, whether people like it or not. I think the skepticism is that people come to us for the retirement package, and he's getting long in the tooth. Well, we've got him on a 2-year deal, and let's just see how he goes. And we might squeeze another year out of him if we look like we're going to make the finals or something like that. So, like I said, it's not all doom and gloom, but it was just like really disappointing. We should have been leading at halftime the other day. And as I've said, you know, on social media, you know, it's a footy team's a bit like a car. You know, if the steering wheel doesn't work, it doesn't matter how good the rest of it is. And our halves are our steering wheel. We need good halves. And they need to control the game. They don't have to be superstars. They've just got to, like, do the basic things right. Just kick normal. Kick it in play. Don't kick it dead in goal. Try and, get a few repeat sets. And I just expected more of Brooksy. I really did.
Yeah, no, I did too. His kicking game definitely. Yeah, it was just awful. What are your thoughts on Kepo Owa on the wing?
Well, I think from our talk last year, you know, I'm not a big fan of his. Got to see him close up in the trial. He looks like he's bulked up a lot. I actually thought his hit-ups were as good as Knoffer's in that trial against Manly.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's just a penchant with all these wingers in rugby league, but he kind of got caught off his wing a couple of times in that trial. But yeah, look, he took a nice, you know, he jumped up over a bomb for one of Brooksy's bombs when it landed 15 out instead of over the try line. Had it landed over the try line, it probably would have been a try. I don't rate him, but you know, I guess he's got potential. Like, I mean, he's just not, you know, doing what he should do. But to think that we lost Ado Carr to keep Talau, and then Talau's not getting a run in first grade, that's a bit weird to me.
Did we lose Ado Carr?
Because we would have.
I suppose we didn't want to trade him. I guess they wanted the cake and eat it too.
They said if we traded Talau, we could have Ado Carr. When Ado Carr found out that that's what the Tigers were playing hardball over that, he basically said, "Stuff that, I don't want to go there anymore." And that's straight out of his manager's mouth. I had a chat with him at the trial. So, but you know, I guess if, you know, Josh had come to the club, then we wouldn't have had money for Dane Laurie. So, you know, because we would have had to put extra money into that, you know, that trade deal anyway. They're not going to do a straight out swap for an international, you know, for a kid that's only played half a dozen first grade games.
The best winger in the world.
Yeah.
Just about. Yeah.
Pretty much. But that was just... you know, like if we're keeping Talau, let's play him. Like, what are we doing? So,
I think he's going to move. He played a little bit like in the edge back rower on the weekend. I think that he could do a Luke Lewis and just go from being a winger and just pushing further in as his career goes along, as he gets a bit older.
Well, I'm told he was a 5'8 through the juniors.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, yeah.
So I hear all these different, you know, positions he's going to play, and I just want him to play one of them.
I think he's wasted on the bench. I think he's too good. And, like, I think Kepo, I'm the same. I'm still yet to be 100% right. He's running. He looks strong and he's running the ball back. Looks good. But just a couple of times, finishing is everything in footy. And just those long balls that he just puts down, they just seem like catches that most wingers in the comp would take and score on.
Well, even do you remember the kick downfield in the first half where he tried to stretch his foot out over the sideline to make it out? Like, you know, I don't know if that's his fault or if that's, you know, his coach's fault, but like he should be standing on the sideline and jumping in. All he's got to do is touch the ball with his fingertip.
Like, I was thinking that. All you've got to do is touch it.
It's an easy out on the full if he's actually standing on the sideline. It almost got to the point where he almost was going to like catch that ball and then put his foot
and then
out.
Slide out.
And
yeah.
I'm like, are you serious, man? You're doing it in reverse. You should be on the sideline with one foot, stretching in with your right foot and trying to reach with your right arm on the ball. And we would have gained 40 metres from that and gone back and, you know, had a changeover on the mark because I think it was the last tackle. So it's little things like that. We're just a little bit green in some positions, and that's up to Madge or the individual coach who's with that player to like teach them these things. Not for you and me to say, hey mate, stand on the sideline and stick your right foot in and your right arm out.
Yeah,
but that should be common sense.
I just think he's not first grade ready yet. And
I agree with that.
I'd rather have Tommy Talau there. Tommy Talau, I think he's wasted on the wing.
Yeah,
but I think he's better. It's less of a waste for him to be on the wing than to be on the bench.
Well, he might start like a Luke Lewis, like you're saying,
Yeah.
be a winger and then a centre and then a lock and a second rower. So he could be that sort of player. But like I say, the exciting thing for me this year, like wherever we finish, is we've got so many guys we can, we don't, they're unknown. We don't know what they're going
Yeah.
to do. And we've purchased some unknowns. And, then we've had guys who have been in the wild, like even, Musgrove, we know he can do well when he comes back. Sean Bloor's untapped. And we love him, like what he did that night against Nathan Brown at Para. Like, even when we were
Yeah.
losing, we didn't care. We just wanted to win the fight, just smash
Yeah.
him. Like it was like, yeah, this is what we want. We want some mongrel in our pack.
Yeah.
So, like I
Can't
say,
wait. Can't wait for him to come
well,
back.
imagine we've got those two to choose from this week. Like,
Yeah.
and then you're thinking, wow, we've got a bit of depth in the forwards. So it just comes down to our halves, game management, which I'm hoping, Dewey will fix. And maybe that'll take a bit of heat off Brooks, and Brooks can just run the ball and do his thing. But
Yep.
I want Dewey to be the playmaker too. I don't want him to just be, doing the kicks and all that sort of stuff. The guy can create. He's got a good passing game. We saw him score a good try, against Manly in that trial. Like he was had three blokes around him and he still got there. So he's a strong
Yep.
boy. But look, I don't know how the year's going to go, but it's not doom and gloom for me. I'm really happy with the off season that we didn't buy some idiot for 800 grand on a 4-year deal and plays five games a year. So,
Yep.
it's not all doom and gloom, but it's going to be a good year, one way or another.
Yep.
We'll find it.
Well,
We'll find out where we stand.
have you got any players that you've got your eye on maybe for a signing? I know it's round two, we're only talking about 20, but that's kind of the game at the moment. We're cashed up a bit. Is there any player you've had your eye on possibly for us to go after?
Like, well, firstly, sort of answer a question with a question. Can we afford a marquee player? Like for me, obviously, depending on how our two hookers go this year, Brandon Smith is the one guy I want to buy. And he's not like a, he hasn't got the class of a Harry Grant, with the wide pass or whatever, but he's just got that grit and that mongrel and
Yeah.
that sort of bulldog attitude
Absolutely.
and leader of the pack sort of mentality and sort of guy you could actually make your captain, even though it's a bit of a rough nut. So that is someone for me. But obviously, if Liddell and Simpkin, whatever, play well, then you kind of say, well, hang on, we're not hemorrhaging in this position. What
Yeah.
other position do we need? And this is where it goes back. Like if Brooksy doesn't have a good year, you'd say we need a seven. But seriously, how many good sevens are there that aren't going to be signed up for a long time? Like Jerome Hughes is committed to Melbourne. I wouldn't want Cleary, even if he's the best player in the world. I don't want to have anything to do with the Clearys. But really, who is there that's a good halfback that you'd buy, Josh? Like who's out there?
Yeah.
Even a 5'8".
Sure. Sean Johnson is one that I wouldn't say dreamt about, just kind of maybe dreamt about, just thought, would that work? Would a Sean Johnson be
Would he come
something?
cheap enough for us? I mean, he goal kicks, that helps.
Yeah,
But
it's just it.
he's always been one of these guys, though, Josh. He goes in and out of games too easily. Like when he's fired,
Yeah.
he looks, he's great. But when he's not, he's just like not doing anything. Like, why did the Warriors let him go? Same reason, they couldn't have success with him, no matter how flashy he was.
Yeah,
But
well, they're letting Sheck go too, so they've let a lot of talent go over the years.
well, I think Sheck, yeah, that's true too, actually. But Sheck's going to Union, so I don't think we could.
Yeah, every Kiwi kid wants to be an All Black, so.
Well, have you got anyone in mind that you're thinking of? Because I mean, it's too early in the season to say, but
No, I was
we
just.
definitely need some strike.
I think because there's players that are off contract, so I talked about it with Shane a couple of weeks ago. So, McKaylee's on a contract year. Lids, as you said, Russell Packer, the odds of him getting another contract. So that's a lot of money.
Next to
That's
nothing. Next to nothing.
yeah. So I very high, I highly, highly doubt that Russell Packer is here next year, and that's a lot of cash right there. Seafarth, he's definitely one I think can come out of the doldrums of second grade and turn into a very good first grader. But
How long have we got Joey Leilua for? Is this his, like, was it a 2-year deal or a 3-year deal?
I think he's got one more
After
after
this.
this year.
Okay, because he's just, like I say, everyone wants to be on his side. Like we want him. We love it when he kind of gets a bit fiery, but even though it's a little bit detrimental to the team. But, defensively, he's just always caught out. And he just doesn't really do much.
He's got till the end of 2022.
2022. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So one more year.
Yeah. So next year.
Yeah. Okay. Because really, like, you know, we've got a lot of young forward talent, you know, obviously with the exception of Tamo. So really, we're looking to probably stock up centres because we've got two aging centres or, you know, or in the back half of their careers anyway, and probably halves. And, you know, hopefully Dane Laurie looks like he'll make that fullback position his own. So we probably don't have to do too much to be really competitive. But like you say, who's a good halfback that won't want to stay wherever they're at?
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Talking about centres, Zach Sini's one to keep an eye on. I think he's got a bit... It just seems like internal growth, we always kind of rely on that rather than doing what the elite teams do and actually going out and getting a star.
But that's probably the only way we're going to get who we want. Like the internal growth hasn't been too bad. The problem is we let Tedesco go, we let Pappenhausen go. But so you know it's not like we can't home grow them. You know it's just we've got to find them again and we've got to keep them this time. We've got to have room in the cap to be able to upgrade their contracts if they perform and. Hopefully someone will come through. But like I say, I think Laurie, obviously, we've only just signed him, but if he makes that position his, Talau can lock up one centre spot. Knoffer's going to have another wing spot. So, you know, you've probably got one centre spot and one wing spot that we're not happy with at the moment. I'm really confident Dwayne, he can make six his own. You know, Brooksy, I think he's had enough chances, but don't want to offend you. So we definitely need a seven. And honestly, in the pack, I don't think we need much at all. I just think it'd just be nice to have a hooker like Brandon Smith to just like come and follow me, boys. Let's do it.
The argument with Brooksy is he's signed till 2023.
Really?
So what do you do with him if you don't want him there? Yeah. What do we do? Pay half his wage? I mean, he's only on about half a mil, so maybe a team would take him for 300 grand. But do you really want to pay players?
No, we don't want to do that. But Josh, if he's not doing it, like I say, it's only one game. I'm being hypercritical.
Yeah,
but it, you know, it's not.
Well,
it's
many
not
people
just
would argue
game,
it's more
it's
than
like
one
7
game.
Years. Like, his best game was his debut at the SCG. I was there.
He's had other good games. He's had other
he's
good
had
games.
Other good games. That was between. His best game.
But they're far in between. I agree.
Yeah. So I don't know, man. He just might have had an off day. But he just, you know, the thing is, like, even when he kicked the ball out on the full, like, if you look at his face, it was just like emotionless. It was like.
Yeah.
Most guys that kick a ball out of the full kind of berate themselves, you know, and you kind of see the frustration. It's just like, he didn't give a shit. I'm like, well, you know, I'm giving a shit.
He needs a bit of fire. And there was a game at Campbelltown last year. I'm trying to think what it was. He had a really good game and he had that bit of halfback pest in him. He had that bit of mongrel come out and I was like, Hank, yes, like this is the Brooksy we want to see.
Exactly.
Halfbacks are meant to be cheeky. They're meant to be like little mongrels in the middle controlling the game. So I think he's got it in him. He's just
I don't know
whatever
personally,
reason.
He's just probably a really bloody nice guy and he's just a bit of
he
an
He is.
Introvert.
I've met him
you know,
I've met him multiple times and he is very, very quiet.
Yeah.
I remember
you don't want that. You need your halfback to be a big mouth and screaming at the forwards and setting up the backs and you know, if something's not going on, giving them a blast like you see other halfbacks do. So, you know, like even Benji's just got to South and he's berating the Australian hooker in a training session.
Yeah.
You know, like, mate, I want better service than that. That's not how you pass the ball.
Yeah, he's a very, every time I've met him, he's very quiet, very, comes across as shy sort of person. I remember I was at a function in 2014 and a lot of the boys from the Tigers had to be there. It was Brooks, Liam Fulton, Blake Austin, Tedesco, who else was here
Good
at that time? Ciro.
Yeah.
And maybe Nathan Brown. Was Nathan Brown still
Nathan Brown debuted with Brooks at the SCG.
So that group of mates, they're all kind of mates together and they're all there. Anyway, I went to the bathroom and Brooksy was at the urinal. Like in this, not next to me. I didn't go
too much information,
stand right
bro.
Next to him. Yeah. I wasn't next to him. I wasn't having a look.
Yeah.
I was the other side. Anyway, I think it was Fultz comes in. He's like, oh, here he is, Brooksy, the prodigy. And Brooksy kind of just had like a nervous laugh about him. Like he just seems like a real just laid back
And he's had to carry that burden.
Yeah.
I get that. But, like, you know, at some stage when it's going good or bad, you got to say, okay, well, you know, I'm not the next Joey Johns. Like, I'm not saying I'm bad, but, like, you know, let's move on from that. You know what I mean? Like, it's been going on since 2013. We're in 2021. So, you know, it's just we need to move on from that. Like, look, we all want him to succeed. There's no doubt about that. But, like, you know, we discussed last year, maybe he's just a running 5'8", and he's just not meant to be game managing because it just doesn't seem to suit him.
My argument with Brooksy is he was touted as the next Andrew Johns.
Yep.
And as much as I love him, I know, it's probably too late, but he's not going to be a superstar.
Yeah.
But he's not being paid superstar money. So my defense of Brooksy is he's on $500,000.
That's a lot of money, though, Josh. That's not like you're a
shit halfback. For a half, it's not.
No, but I'm not saying he's getting $700,000-$800,000, but I'm sure there's halfbacks on less money than $500,000 at other clubs.
But to play at a $500,000 level,
yeah,
to be like a Chad Townsend or something, like you could have a superstar around him. My defense of saying not getting rid of him is he definitely can be a $500,000 player.
Yeah.
He's not going to be a $1 million superstar.
Yeah.
But he does have it in him to be the second best half pairing. And like you said, maybe a ball playing runner. Like,
just play what he sees. Chad
Townsend was the example. He had James Maloney with him when they won a comp.
Yeah.
So he could be that second fiddle sort of guy because he's not on superstar money. If he was on superstar money, then I'd be on everyone's side to get rid of him. But at $500,000, you don't need that much for $500,000 to be worth it. I know $500,000 to a normal person seems like a lot, but he's on half the money of the superstar halves in our league.
Yeah.
So if he can be 50%, and then put a good, maybe AD ends up being a superstar outside him and ends up being a $700,000-$800,000. He's on $650,000 at the moment.
Yeah.
I think I just read, but my point is we've got him signed for 3 more years.
Yeah.
If he can play up to a decent half.
Yeah,
And his kicking game's the number one thing. If he can prove his kicking game, I think the talk would shut up a little bit. As soon as he kicked it out in the full, I was just straight away going, "Fuck, I've got to defend him. I'm going to have to defend that next week."
I don't remember exactly, but I'm pretty sure he had 5 like kicks in the first half, and like 2 of them were those cross kicks, and I think one of them Kapoa jumped up and caught. Another one I think they caught and then maybe Luch ripped it out. So kind of off 2 average kicks, we got like a little bit of a result. But so he doesn't have to be brilliant. He doesn't have to do like a super duper kick where, you know, like Benji Danoff went off as flying through the air at Campbelltown and grounding it inside the corner post. He's just got to do kicks that aren't mistakes. Like there's a difference between, you know, even if that out on the full kick went straight down the fullback stroke, well, it's better than going out on the full, isn't it? You know, so he doesn't have to be a superstar with his kicks, but like just if an average kicking game should just be an average kicking game, not an absolutely fucking shit kicking game where you just think, fuck, this guy's been around for 7 years. Like, I could have kicked better than that, you know, and I'm right footed.
Kick it to the seagulls.
I'm right footed and I could have kicked it left footed better than that, you know. So it's just really frustrating, that's all, because he's got a responsibility now. Like, even though he's still reasonably young, he's one of the older guys in the team and he's got a lot more experience than most of those guys. He's got to take a little bit of ownership and responsibility and just say to himself, you know, it's not good enough, you know.
Yeah.
And like I say, he's even when he plays good games, he's going to have the odd bad kick. You can't say, oh, every kick's got to be perfect. But you can't have fucking 5 shit kicks in one night and just say, oh, you know, we tried hard, we tackled hard. Like, if I was one of the forwards, I would have been ropeable with him. Like, fuck, mate, we've outplayed this other team and we're 6-6, but we could have been like 12-0 if you just kept the ball in the end goal and forced a few repeat sets. Or, you know, that first grubber kick, mate, he was 20 out and he didn't even get it past the 10-meter line. It bounced straight into some bloke's chest. And what the fuck's that?
Yeah.
You know, it's just really frustrating. And
It's basic stuff.
It's basic stuff. And the thing is, it's only the first game of the year, but to us, it's like, you know, his 150th game this week. You know what I mean? It's been happening all the time, and he's just got to improve. Yeah. And the first...
It's the 1%.
Yeah, and we're thinking, wow, is this what he's been working on in the off-season to come up with that crap? You know, but anyway, I'm being harsh, but, you know, just frustrating.
He's a halfback in the NRL. You're a halfback in the NRL. You're going to... It's essentially the quarterback of rugby league, so...
Exactly.
You're going to be in the... And yeah, like I said, I'm a defender of him, but he's got to get better.
The other 16 players in the team, Josh, who could you, like, well, I'm not saying they all played well, but if you look at all the other players, who actually came up with some howlers out of the rest of the team? Can you think of any?
There was someone,
super howlers.
When you say howler,
like
it's
something
a,
that sticks
a really...
out in your memory that you just say, well, that was really bad. See, obviously Garner, but what I'm trying to say is, like, I remember the Brooks ones. I don't really remember too much else. Like, the Mbai one going into touch, that's on offer for me. Garner had a couple of them, obviously. But I don't really look at the others. I think maybe James Roberts might have thrown a super pass to someone running cross-field or whatever when it didn't need to be passed at all. But, like, what I'm trying to say is your halfback can't be doing those mistakes.
I'm trying to find the errors. There was someone that had six errors. I'm trying to remember who it was.
Six errors? Probably Joey.
No, so it wasn't. So Kepa, sorry, no. So Brooks had, he's down for one error. The other backs, Laurie had one, Noffa had one, Roberts had two, Joey had one, Kepa Iowa had three, and Moses Mbai had two. And Brooksy's only down for one.
Yeah, but Brooksy's down for one, but like I say, a grubber from 18 metres out that hits nobody on their chest. That's not technically a mistake, but it's just, you know, hasn't gone dead in goal or anything like that, but it's a mistake.
It's not on the stat sheet.
Exactly, it's not on the stat sheet. Mm. And like I said, Mbai's two mistakes, probably one of them should have been a try. in my eyes. So I'm sure the pass into touch goes down as a mistake.
Yeah, that's true. So you're putting that on offer.
I'm putting that on offer for sure. It was late in the tackle count.
I'll have to rewatch it. I was thinking at the time maybe he should have rainbowed a bit more, but yeah, maybe not.
It was a perfect pass. It was just, like I said, it was like the whole problem with everything we did inside the red zone on Sunday was we were like a bunch of strangers. No one knew what to expect from anyone.
Yeah. But it's a new team, so hopefully surely that gets better. Surely it gets better.
I hope so. I'm not expecting many points this week. I just hope we keep the Roosters down on points.
Yeah, well, especially in the wet anyway.
Exactly. It should be a low-scoring game. Yeah, so hopefully we'll do well, buddy.
So you're heading out there?
I'm heading out there, mate. I've been kindly invited by my uncle, who's from Demar Stone, who's one of the sponsors. I think I mentioned it last week on Twitter. So he's got, like, some sort of little place out there, a little box or corporate seats or something like that. So I'll go enjoy those, and hopefully it's a good afternoon. But, yeah, see if we can smash Teddy.
Yeah.
Smash Teddy and give him a loss at his home ground at Campbelltown. That'd be nice.
Has he played at Campbelltown as a Rooster yet?
I don't think he has, because I saw somewhere tonight on social media that the last time...
Yeah, it was a return.
Last time
it was
we won,
return,
we had Lincoln Withers and Daniel Fitzhenry in the team. Last time we won at Campbelltown. So
Against
the Roosters. I'm pretty sure if we had Teddy in the team, we would have had at least one win or something. No, I don't think we often play the Roosters there.
Yeah, we've played them at Leichhardt in recent years.
I think we played them at Olympic Park a couple of times. I remember one game where the Roosters had like all their Origin stars out, and we kind of lost the game in the last few minutes, maybe to a Blake Ferguson try or something like that.
So I've got the game logs in front of me here. So last time we played them at Campbelltown was 2017.
Yeah.
And we lost 40-18.
Yep.
And then before that was 2010. So we lost to the Roosters three times in 2010, and we all remember the third one.
Don't go there.
So we lost 12-8 at Campbelltown that day. Before then, back when we used to only have two home grounds, we played them a few times. So 2004, we lost 56-0. I still remember that.
Wow.
We beat them at Campbelltown. I remember we got beaten by 50 the week after or the week before, and I think it was a Broncos.
The only win that I can remember is a Lola Hia conversion from the sideline maybe 3 years ago at SFS or whatever you want to call it now, Allianz.
Well, the stat that I always throw out with Roosters games, so we played the Roosters the night before my 21st birthday.
Yep.
So that was, and then we beat them later that year.
Yep.
So, and then we've beaten them twice since.
Okay.
I turn 33 next week.
Oh, wow. 12 years.
Yeah. 12 years, four wins.
They're just a buggy team, mate. But, you know.
Just they're always a very good side for whatever reason. Yeah, just
They
so the last
cap,
win,
they manage their cap very well.
They do very good management. Very
excellent
good
management.
What
about Suwali? Yeah. Exemption, Sunnyville exemption, whatever they want, exemption, no problem. Weather
roosters. Yeah, it's almost like the NRL have a reason to give them what they
want.
Yeah,
well, Suwali's 18 years of age is different to another kid's 18 years of age.
All right, so here, the last time we beat the Roosters at Campbelltown was round 15, 2003. We beat them 30-4. So here's our side. We'll step back in time.
Sure.
This will be a bit of fun. Robert Miles at fullback.
Wow.
Wingers Marco Halloran and Luke Cavell.
Yep.
Nick Bradley, that's the one. John Wilson in the centres.
Yep.
Fitzy and Lincoln Withers in the halves, as you said. Front rows, Lefranchi and Scando.
Good front row.
Darren Center at
hooker.
Benny Galea, Mark O'Neill, second row. So a few 2005 guys in the forwards.
Yeah.
Terry Hill at lock.
Wow.
Terry Hill played... I didn't even know Terry Hill ever played lock. I was 15 years old. When this
well, John
game
Wilson
happened.
Was in the 2005 squad too. And he's in a few of those highlights of the...
He played a bit in the halves too, didn't he?
Center mainly from what I remember. I remember he scored
the bench
try against Canterbury in the 37-36 win.
The bench, Gray Viani. Don't even remember that name.
Nor do I.
Sorry,
Gray.
If you're listening, Gray is probably not. Willie Manu.
Yeah, Willie Manu was around. Yeah.
Corey Pearson and Joel Kane on the bench is interesting.
Wow, that must have been his last year.
Possibly he was leading point scorer in the comp.
Yeah, he was a good goal kicker.
Not long before that.
Yeah. I think
Luke Cavell kicked 5 from 6.
From memory. I think he might have been our fullback in our first ever game at Campbelltown against Brisbane.
He was. He's West Tigers player number one. Yeah, that's correct. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. Well, we need a few more wins in between, mate, but not going to happen if we keep letting our best player go to that club.
Yeah. The Roosters had Brad Fittler too, so it wasn't like they made the grand. They won the grand final the year before.
They won the grand final
the
year
premiers.
Before. I think they lost it the year before that and lost it the year after that.
Yeah. So 2000,
they
lost to the Broncos
against. I think they beat the Warriors, and
they beat the Warriors,
they
and they made the grand final that year. Lost to the Panthers, and then lost to the Bulldogs the following year.
And
so,
I think Freddie's last year was our premiership year. I'm pretty sure he retired in
2005
because I remember we actually played against him.
2004.
That was his last year, really.
Yeah, 2004 was his last year. He coached. I'm pretty sure he coached 2006.
Yeah, he coached not long after
he coached really quick. Yeah, he coached really quickly. So, anyway, enough about the Roosters' history. Who cares?
Yeah, fair enough.
Always good to chat with you.
You too, Josh.
Mate, I'll try and catch up with you at the game.
Not too much negativity tonight. Are you happy with that, mate?
Nah, round one. Long way to go. I'll call you again in a few rounds' time.
All right, let's hope we get the 2-0 victory this week.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot, Rob.
All right, Josh, good talking to you, buddy.